Good afternoon, 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I can easily make an argument just to get us back to where we were a couple of years ago. We need to raise the gas tax 5 to 7 cents.
Well, there's something you rarely hear, a politician advocating a tax increase. State Senator Ernie Harris thinks Kentucky's gas tax is too low.
Tuition is going up this fall at Moorhead State University.
And the city of Ashland now has a contract with its new city manager.
In sports, the Round County Vikings are playing in their first Sweet 16th baseball tournament in more than three decades.
But Luke has the stocks.
A chance of showers tonight, lows around 54. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Well, students this fall at Moorhead State University will be paying a little bit more. The Board of Regents met today, and Arlo Barnett was there.
Moorhead State University will be raising its tuition as part of an expanded operating budget passed today. The 2017-18 budget is larger than last year's by $1.3 million, at a total of $152.2 million. The new revenue comes from a 4.9% tuition rate increase for undergraduate students, expanded programs in the winter session, and a 6.2% increase in residence hall rates. Chief Financial Officer Beth Patrick says the budget is designed to weather the perfect storm.
It's a what I would refer to as a strong budget. It's a steady budget. We would like to have more additional revenue to invest, but we do have some very critical investments budgeted in this to expand the nursing program, to create a new program in nursing, and to look at some other program expansions. So it's a strategic budget, and we think that it'll serve us well in the next academic year.
MSU's Board of Regents okayed the 2017-18 budget by popular vote. The tuition increase will mean an additional $210 per semester for full-time undergraduate students living on campus. The residence hall rate hike will be an extra $154 on average.
The director of a shelter for domestic abuse victims is asking Ashland City Commissioners to expand the city's bus service to evenings and Saturdays. Ann Perkins operates Safe Harbor.
Our program is housing about 150 women and children a day, and most of those folks don't have their own vehicle because they just can't afford it. And so the City of Ashland's bus system has made a huge impact on their ability to access jobs and health care and educational opportunities.
Perkins says the buses are a lifeline for low-income residents and people with disabilities.
The City of Ashland now has a contract with its new city manager. Colonel Mike Gracie will begin work as Ashland's top administrator August 1st. That's after he retires from military service. He now works at the Pentagon. City commissioners approved the agreement with the Virginia resident today. Gracie will be paid $130,000 annually. Ashland hasn't had a permanent city manager since February 2016, so Commissioner Matt Perkins is glad to finally have a new official on board.
This commission is so excited to see him get here and get some leadership with our city and getting things done that we want to see happen. We have a vision, each of us, and it's been hard to craft that vision and execute that vision without a city manager.
Mayor Steve Gilmore says the new manager will be in Ashland tomorrow to do some house hunting.
Ashland City Commissioners today put their final stamp of approval on the creation of a tax increment financing, or TIF, district that will be known as the Ashland Plaza Development Area. Commissioner Marty Goot says the TIF will offer tax incentives for businesses to locate between 14th Street and Greenup Avenue.
It's a small area, but it's a district where if the hotel goes, then the city and county will both benefit, because you'll have other businesses that will locate here, conventions will locate here.
Goot is referring to the Ashland Plaza Hotel. A developer is planning to renovate the structure and turn it into a Marriott Inn.
According to one official, things are at a standstill regarding the joint Moorhead-Round County Recreation Committee's plans for millions of dollars in recreation program and facility improvements. David Morris is the city's director of Parks and Recreation and is a member of the panel. He says both City Council and the Rowland Fiscal Court have rejected the committee's proposal to add or increase some local insurance tax premiums. The group maintains that taking such action would create $1.1 million in new revenue for the city and county.
Well, anytime you talk about that fee structure there, it's going to be an uphill battle, and we know that. And we just need to continue to bring it to the forefront, and hopefully, you know, our elected officials will look at that and see a good route of revenue, a stream of revenue that could be brought in, not just for recreation.
Morris admits the lack of support for the plan by the council and fiscal court didn't shock him. He adds the new money could also have been used for other community projects and needs. He says the committee's insurance tax premium hike would have cost the average Round Countyan less than $50 annually.
The FBI is offering a $20,000 reward for the arrest of fugitive lawyer Eric Kahn of Floyd County. Mike Lindemann has the story.
Kahn's already pleaded guilty to defrauding the federal government out of $550 million through fraudulent Social Security disability claims. He removed an electronic tether on Friday night near Lexington. Louisville FBI Special Agent in Charge Amy Hess says there have been some tips.
We believe he is still in the country, but we're not sure how long that will be.
Investigators don't think Kahn had help in his initial escape. I'm Mike Lindemann.
WSAZ is reporting that three people have been arrested in Scioto County following the discovery of a suspected meth lab. The Southern Ohio Drug Task Force has charged 28-year-old Robert Sperry of Portsmouth with possession of methamphetamine. 30-year-old Cecilia Lennox and 44-year-old Paul Hatfield are charged with manufacturing the drug. Police say Lennox and Hatfield live in the McDermott home along Ohio 104 where the alleged lab was dismantled.
Owingsville police say the public has been helpful after they recently announced on a social media site that they discovered a significant amount of methamphetamine. According to K-9 officer Bud Lyons, 6 ounces of meth crystals with an estimated street value of $2,500 to $3,000 were found in a barn in the Sour Spring area just over a week ago. That's after police were called to the scene by the owner of the property.
I placed on our Facebook, you know, just trying to find out some tips. So I put a picture on our Facebook page with the meth and asked if any of it belonged to anybody to come in and claim it. You know, basically just trying to get some tips and let the people in that area know what's going on. And it has generated several tips to who it belonged to.
Lyons believes the person who lost the meth did so the previous evening while he was hiding out from police. They'd been investigating some possible break-ins in the area.
Kentucky State Police in Moorhead and the Fleming County Sheriff's Department are searching for a Hillsboro man. According to KSP Trooper Scott Farrell, 29-year-old Ashley Harmon is wanted for questioning in connection with a number of incidents in Fleming County.
We've had several thefts in that area here lately, and we've linked them all pretty much to him. But we need to talk with him first, you know, to verify everything. But he's the one that we're looking for, you know, kind of slow the theft down.
Farrell says Harmon is considered to be a fugitive and is believed to be in Fleming, Bath, or Montgomery counties. Harmon is white, 5'8" tall, weighs 140 pounds. He has short reddish-brown hair and possibly a beard. He was last seen driving a copper-colored 2005 Ford F-150 pickup truck. If you have information regarding his whereabouts, you are asked to call state police at 606-784-4127.
A Johnson County man is facing several charges after a one-vehicle accident early Wednesday. According to the Sheriff's Department, 36-year-old Jeffrey Osborne lost control of his vehicle and crashed it on Kentucky 581 near the River community. During their investigation of the incident, authorities say they found 8 small bags of a crystal substance, 1 Suboxone strip, drug paraphernalia, and $101 in cash in Osborne's vehicle. He's jailed in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center, charged with DUI, drug possession, and trafficking.
Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says he is not investigating whether Governor Bevin's recent purchase of a mansion in Louisville suburb. However, the Democrat told reporters in Frankfurt Wednesday some of the things being said about the deal by the Republican chief executive and the former owner of the house just don't add up.
Number one, Neil Ramsey, the former owner and seller of this home, is a state contractor. Number two, Governor Bevin moved into a mansion while it was still owned by a state contractor. Number three, the state made improvements to a private residency before it was sold to the governor while it was still owned by a state contractor. Number four, Governor Bevin personally negotiated the purchase of a mansion from a state contractor while governor.
And Bashir says Neil Ramsey tried to conceal the sale of the property, claiming he didn't know who bought it. However, the AG says Ramsey later admitted he negotiated the deal personally with Governor Bevin.
When it comes to Governor Matt Bevin's plans for his proposed special session of the General Assembly, Kentucky's House Minority Leader says he's keeping an open mind. Democratic State Representative Rocky Adkins of Moorhead says he's not sure what Bevin's ideas are for updating the state's tax codes or for creating revenue to help Kentucky's financially embattled public pension systems. Adkins says he only got Bevin's letter informing him that he wants to call a special session on Tuesday and ask for input on those issues.
But as far as me meeting with him face-to-face to know where he's headed and what he's looking at, as far as whether he's really looking at real tax reform or looking for a tax shift, I can't comment on that because I'm not seeing anything as far as his proposal on either tax reform or on pension reform.
Bevin has said he'll call lawmakers to Frankfurt for a special session sometime after August 15th.
State Senator Ernie Harris says he can easily argue that Kentucky's gas tax is 5 to 7 cents too low. The Oldham County Republican is chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee. Kentucky's fuel tax is linked to its cost, and Harris says the Transportation Cabinet's road fund started seeing its revenues decline by millions of dollars when pump prices began tumbling.
We lost 6.5 cents of our highway money. We went, our tax at one time was 32 cents about. It dropped to about 26 cents. But that 26 cents includes 1.4 for underground storage. Every penny that comes in results in about $30 million in the construction account.
Harris made his comments this week at a hearing of the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Transportation.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will decide later this month which projects will get priority status in its new 6-year road plan. That's the word from Deputy State Highway Engineer Paul Looney.
On June 22nd, we will release our preliminary recommendations for the statewide project prioritization, as well as the scores for the regional model, so the rest of the projects statewide. To put that in perspective, there were about 1,200 projects sponsored statewide by the districts, the ad districts, and the MPOs.
Looney says each of the proposed projects will be scored on the basis of how well they improve safety, relieve congestion, and promote economic growth.
A bridge on Kentucky 8 in Bracken County will be closed over the summer as a project to replace it gets underway. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokeswoman Nancy Wood says the span over Snag Creek was closed to traffic on June 1st.
We are doing a bridge replacement project. So we have to remove the old one to build a new and improved bridge that's going to be going over Snag Creek. The bridge is going to be 33 feet long with 2 12-foot lanes and 4-foot shoulders, and it will, of course, improve safety along this Kentucky 8 stretch of highway for all those who travel it.
The $2.7 million project is expected to continue through November 1st. Motorists are encouraged to use the detour taking Kentucky 8 to Kentucky 2228, followed by Kentucky 9 to Kentucky 1109. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain, lows around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, highs around 80. Tomorrow night, it'll be clear with lows around 59. On Saturday, sunny skies, highs in the mid-80s. That night, clear with lows around 64. On Sunday, it'll be hot, mostly sunny, highs up around 92. That night, mostly clear, lows around 68, and the high temperatures continue at the beginning of next week. On Monday, it'll be sunny with highs in the lower 90s. It is currently sitting at 71 degrees in Lexington as well as in Flemingsburg. It's 77 in Ashland, 72 in Inez, 70 in Winchester, and 72 degrees here in Moorhead.
445, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and it is great to have your company on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature segment, the Robertson County School District will face the future without state assistance, MSBR's Samantha Morrill explains.
In 2013, academic issues and declining enrollment numbers caused the State Department to put Robertson County Schools on their list of low-achieving schools that needed help from the state in order to stay afloat. But now, changes made to curriculum, more students in the classroom, and a focus on communication mean that Robertson County Schools are holding their own once again. District Superintendent Sanford Holbrook took up his post in August of 2015. He says implementing an open-door policy early on made all the difference.
I had my door open. I had staff come here and talk to me. I had parents. I did a breakfast with parents once a month when I first got here, and I'd invite 10 to 15 parents every morning. You know, we got some great ideas from that. I had a superintendent student advisory council, got some great ideas from HIT, and I mean, I started getting a lot of input from all the stakeholders, you know, the students, the parents, the staff, and the community.
The exchange of ideas in the district led to many changes, not least of all, improvements to curriculum.
We really revamped our curriculum. We made it more rigorous and really pushed our kids. I think the big thing I did as a superintendent is I just set the bar. I mean, I set the bar high, and I've always found out if you set that bar high, 99% of the time, kids will reach that. You know, kids like to please, and so they'll work themselves to death to try to get up there to that level that you set for them.
He adds that the students at Robertson County Schools have more confidence since the changes have been made.
I was here one day, and was walking down the hall with a lady, and a kid come up to me, and he was in the second grade, and he patted me on the back, and he said, "Next year, Mr. Holbrooks, I'll be distinguished in math and reading." And that lady looked at me, and she said, "Well, I don't know if he'll be distinguished," but she said, "One thing, you got them drinking the Kool-Aid. At least they're believing themselves." And I think that's the big thing. We got our kids believing themselves because we have great kids.
Robertson County Schools are expected to be officially removed from the state-assisted list at the Kentucky Board of Education's meeting later this month. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Morrill.
448, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock. And Chuck has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Vikings step onto the big stage. Good afternoon. Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Chuck Meraz. Making its first trip to the state Sweet 16 since 1983, the Rowan County baseball team is at Whitaker Bank Ballpark in Lexington this afternoon, taking on Muhlenberg County in first-round action. Right now, that game is tied in the bottom of the sixth inning at 3-3. Rowan entered the state finals without head coach Keith Prater, who remains hospitalized after being diagnosed with leukemia. Joey Votto went 4-for-4 with a home run and two RBIs to help the Cincinnati Reds complete a four-game sweep of St. Louis with a 5-2 victory over the Cardinals this afternoon at Great American Ballpark. Elsewhere around the majors today, first in the National League, San Francisco leads over Milwaukee 5-3 in the sixth inning, and San Diego in the third inning on top of Arizona 3-2. One day game in the American League, a final, the Angels over Detroit 11-4. Kentucky's baseball team starts playing its first ever NCAA Super Regional tomorrow at noon at the University of Louisville. The third-ranked Cardinals beat the Wildcats 5-3 on their home field in early April. Coach Dan O'Donnell is impressed by UK, especially its offense.
They do a great job of making you throw pitches, getting guys on base, a really good two-strike approach. They've utilized the talented arms they've got, mixed and matched some guys in the bullpen, and It's no surprising, you know, that they're at this point right now. I thought they were one of the better teams we played all year.
The Cats and Cards face off in a best-of-three series, with the winner headed to next week's College World Series in Omaha. The Kentucky Girls Sweet 16 softball tournament is getting underway today in Owensboro. 16th region champion East Carter is opening the event against Collins at 6 o'clock. East coach Derek Calhoun would love for his Lady Raiders to jump out to an early lead with ace Montana Fouts in the pitching circle.
You know, I think it'd be tremendous. You know, as a lot of teams know, you know, when you've got Montana in the circle, you know, if you get up on a team early, you know, you could break a team's confidence level. But, you know, if you let them stick around and you don't produce runs early, you know, they're going to build their confidence up, knowing that, you know, they're going to have to score a couple runs to win the ballgame.
East Carter starts the state tourney with a 33-3 record. The Elliott County boys basketball team has lost a key player. All-area guard Corbin Spencer will be a junior next season, has transferred to Hargraves Military Academy in Virginia. The 6'2 Spencer helped the Lions win their third straight 16th region crown last season by averaging 22 points a game. Coach Greg Atkins says Spencer's departure leaves a big void in his roster.
You know, the things that Corbin gave us, the things that he did, it has to be replaced by multiple guys. You know, each one of our guys has got to pick up the rebound a little bit, make a little more concerted effort on the defensive side, and just make the adjustments, use the summer to figure out what we need to be good at, and as we get closer to the preseason, start forming some kind of a team identity.
Even without Spencer, Elliott County still returns nine players from last year's 16th region champs, including Tanner Dickerson, who averaged 14 points per game. Number three, Simona Halep, will face unseeded Helena Ostapenko in the women's title match of tennis's French Open. Earlier today, Halep advanced with a win over second seed Carolina Pliskova, while Ostapenko became the first unseeded woman in over 30 years to reach the finals by knocking off Tomea Baczynski. The Kentucky football team started its summer workouts this week. Speaking at this week's Governor's Cup luncheon in Frankfort, Coach Mark Stoops said he believes the workouts will prep his team for what he expects to be a successful season.
We have a long road ahead of us. Can't get too far ahead of ourselves. And these players know that have been here in the past and been through it, that it all starts with their training in the summer. And so we just got started with that here this week, so we're excited about that and where we're headed.
One other note from the luncheon, Stoops has announced that senior defensive end Alvante Bell has been dismissed from the team for violating team rules. The field has been set for the third jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown, Paul Miles reports.
Irish Warcry is the 7-2 favorite for the Belmont Stakes. The colt claimed the status after expected favorite Classic Empire was forced out because of an abscess in his right front hoof. Irish Warcry finished 10th in the Kentucky Derby and skipped the Preakness. Epicheris is the 4-1 second choice, followed by Lookin' at Lee, the only horse to run in all three legs of the Triple Crown. I'm Paul Miles.
The Cincinnati Bengals now have all 11 of their 2017 draft picks under contract. Earlier today, defensive end Jordan Willis inked with the Bengals. Terms were not disclosed. Willis finished his career at Kansas State, ranked third in all-time sacks. And finally, Game 5 of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals is set for tonight at 8 o'clock in Pittsburgh. That series between the homestanding Penguins and Nashville is tied at 2 games apiece. Once again, from the state baseball tournament over in Lexington, Rowan County tied with Muhlenberg County that game in the 6th inning. It's knotted at 3 apiece. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Morehead State Men's Basketball will host the 2017 Preston Spradlin Basketball Camp June 12th through 14th at MSU's Johnson Arena. Morning and afternoon sessions for boys and girls entering kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly higher as Wall Street digested former FBI Director James Comey's testimony, and the Dow did hit an intraday record before ending with a gain of 8.84, finishing at 21,182.53. The S&P 500 was up 0.65 at 2433.79, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 24.38 at 6321.76. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of winning stocks over losers. This as most analysts felt there were no major bombshells from Comey's testimony. Utilities led decliners, while a rise in bank stocks capped losses for the overall market. Bank stocks, which were some of the early beneficiaries from Trump's election, rose very strongly today, with the Spider S&P Bank Exchange-Traded Fund jumping more than 2.5%. Investors in the space also kept an eye on the House as they prepared to vote on the Financial Choice Act. Bond yields rose slightly today as investors were more inclined to make riskier investments, with the benchmark 10-year note yield holding steady near 2.21%, while the 2-year note yield traded near 1.33%. Wall Street also was very closely watching events in Europe as the European Central Bank kept interest rates unchanged. The ECB dropped all references to a future rate cut from its statement, but added that it would be ready to extend its quantitative easing program if needed. The euro fell 0.4% against the dollar on this news. And also in Europe, voters in the United Kingdom made their way to the polls for a general election. Prime Minister Theresa May called for the election in April, and of course May's Conservative Party had a seemingly unassailable lead over the left-wing Labour Party, but that lead has narrowed significantly since then. In Europe, markets were mixed, with the Financial Times index in Britain down 0.3%, and Germany's DAX index up 0.3%. In Asia, markets were mostly higher, with Shanghai and the Hang Seng both finishing with gains up of around 0.3%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2%, finishing at $45.62 a barrel, and gold was down almost 1% at $1,281.10 an ounce. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Goldman Sachs. The worst performers were Disney and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nordstrom and Yahoo, and the worst performers were Advance Auto Parts and BorgWarner. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 16 cents at 66.81, CSX down a penny at 53.76, AEP down 61 cents at 72.01, AK Steel up 33 cents at 6.30, Marathon Petroleum up 45 cents at 53.42, and Anthem was down 69 cents to finish at 187.64. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. Turning once again to the weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain, and lows around 52 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny, highs around 80. Tomorrow night, clear, lows around 59. On Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, sunny, highs in the mid-80s. That night, clear with lows around 64. On Sunday, it'll start to get hot, mostly sunny, highs around 92 degrees. That night, mostly clear with lows around 68, and on Monday, sunny with highs remaining in the lower 90s. It is currently 71 degrees in Lexington and Flemingsburg, 70 in Winchester, 72 in Inez, 77 in Ashland, and sitting at 72 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
And I reckon that'll bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, from our staff, from the Kentucky News Network, Mike Lindemann. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSBR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.